Now we continue with our study of what it really means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our focus especially will be on the Apostle Peter and how he began and how he continued to grow and became an outstanding disciple, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, our study would take into consideration of how there was a huge multitude of people. And we see this, obviously, in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4. Well, let's turn to the scriptures and we will see this quite clearly. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, we see a description of the huge multitudes that came. Well, we take a look, verse 23. All kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of disease among the people. The people came and they were healed by the Lord. And we read about how all sick people from Syria, from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And a key word that was noted by Matthew was that great multitudes followed him. And we ask ourselves, what was it that made people follow Jesus the way they did? And the following observations may be made. Some came to be healed. Others came because they had problems with demons. Still others came because they wanted to see and hear a famous person. And as we look at the multitudes, we must make the general observations. One, there was little or no commitment made to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. There was no real conviction either. No cost was considered. There was little or no contribution to ministry in any way. The vast multitudes may follow Jesus, but vast multitudes, being what they are, can also end up departing from the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we have recorded the fact that Jesus fed over 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And they were impressed. They wanted Jesus to be their king. In fact, they tried to force his hand to make him their king. But Jesus kept on talking to them about the bread of life, about how he was the living bread that came from heaven. He sought to point them to things eternal, reminding them that what he was saying to them, they were spirit and they were life. The vast multitude refused to accept what Jesus actually taught. Thousands of people followed. Thousands of people also left. They rejected his teachings and they were determined that they would follow him no more. And this is a general observation that we may make about multitudes. They will follow generally because other people are also following. But they will follow until they cannot get what they want. And then they quit. This is the danger that we see when we come to talking about multitudes. And Peter was not to be one of the multitudes. The disciples that decided to follow Jesus, they were also not going to be counted as one of the multitudes. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the whole idea of the difference between the multitude and the disciples. For the multitude, what we have is quantity. What Jesus desired from his disciples was quality. And that was a huge difference. The disciples were noted in all the Gospels. Apart from Luke chapter 5, there was a general notation of their calling. And so they followed him after they were called. Jesus said to them, "I will make you fishers of men." And you see this in Matthew chapter 4, for example. What did Jesus offer the disciples? Well, four things stand out. He offered his friendship. He offered his fellowship. He offered his mentorship. He offered his love. To the multitudes, this was not what they wanted. They wanted a king who will provide for them. Wanted a king who will protect them. They wanted a king so that they can have an easier life. They wanted a king who will help them in every way. And they don't have to do much apart from just following him. The difference is huge between multitudes and disciples. And so, what does it take to be a disciple? Well, there are a number of things that we need to consider. Like Peter, one must deal with personal sin problems. Peter knew how sinful he was. He had to confess his sin, that he was wretched, that he was a sinful man. When he stood before the Lord, he was not worthy to follow. He, in fact, asked Jesus to depart from him. The challenge to the disciple was to find a personal faith that is genuine. And then to prove that that faith was indeed true and steadfast, each and every disciple will have something to forsake. The disciples mentioned in the scriptures, they forsook all that they had and followed Jesus. And so we see a huge difference between the multitudes and the disciples. The question next was, well, are they good enough now? Are they ready enough now? And the answer, frankly, is no. What was lacking? What was lacking in the disciples and the multitudes at this point of time? Well, a few things may be noted again. One, what was lacking, very obviously, was deep knowledge. There was general knowledge of who Jesus was then. Right? They had heard John the Baptizer declaring Jesus as the Lamb of God. They personally saw the power of God in Jesus. They saw how he ministered, how he taught, how he preached, how he healed. But seeing all these things, having exposure and experience, does not mean a deep knowledge. And if one wanted to be a true good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, this general knowledge is going to be not sufficient, obviously. What are the features of a general knowledge? One, there is no depth. Two, there is no mastery. Three, obvious limitations will follow. Consistent with vague knowledge, consistent with a limited understanding. What is really needed, what was still lacking? Obviously, there was lacking a great faith. And this is where the disciples had to realize that the knowledge that they needed and a faith that was desired are related. Without knowledge, there would be not that faith either. They would realize in time to come that experience and faith are also related. They would need the experience by following Jesus, by relating to the people that Jesus talked to. Knowledge and experience are related closely to faith. A great faith would be needed to follow Jesus successfully and to serve him fruitfully and effectively. This was what was still missing. So if they were to start up as disciples, they are not far different from the multitudes at this stage of their life. The third thing that was obviously lacking was that they did not have a strength of character. For Jesus, it was very obvious the strength of his character. He had been tested by the devil and he overcame him without difficulty. Such was his faith, such was his knowledge of the Word of God, such was the strength of his character. The disciples would need this too, for them to last out in ministry, for them to have success in the work that they would do for the Lord one day. The strength of character has to be cultivated. Without the cultivation of character, nothing will come out significantly. And it will come, as character is always, it will come about only through testing in life. What was the fourth thing that was lacking? And that was very obvious. Skills were missing. Were they good at speaking to people yet? No. Were they skilled in teaching? Obviously, no. Were they very good at ministering to the people? No. Were they able to counsel with people if they came to them? No. So obviously these four things have to be addressed. The lack of knowledge, the lack of great faith, the lack of strength of character, the lack of skills for ministry. And so in discipleship, the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself, his friendship, his fellowship, his faith, his love, his mentorship to help them to become the disciples they desired to be and what the Lord wanted as well. How did they become the disciples that they would be one day? Very briefly, in one word, it would be the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus became absolutely essential in the making of the disciples. Why are the teachings of Jesus so important? John 1:17, we read that from Moses came the law, but from Jesus came grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasized to his disciples that his words are spirit and they are life. In the words of the Apostle Peter, when so many people left, Jesus asked them, "Will you also leave?" This was Peter's reply, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." On one occasion, Jesus spoke to the people and he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is found in John 8:32. So on four counts, we say that the teachings of Jesus are vital. They are of vital importance because they are grace and truth, because they are spirit and life, because they lead us to eternal life, and they have power to make us free. The teachings of Jesus were important also for other reasons. Let's take a look. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, these teachings will become even more obvious. A common phrase that was found in Matthew 5, for example, 5:21, 5:27, Jesus would say, "You have heard that it was said to those of old. This was a common way in which Jesus was quoting the common understanding of all the people had learned and they had heard. And Jesus offered a contrast. But I say to you, Matthew 5, 22, 28. What is the difference? The teachings of Jesus will offer a powerful and effective correction of wrong teachings. Wrong teachings may prevail, and they can be very, very powerful. And unless wrong teachings are addressed and dealt with, they will always affect the quality of our life, our faith, the state of our soul, and our walk with God. And as long as false teachings are not addressed effectively, the weakness will always be felt. And so we have to ask ourselves once again, what did the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ offer? And I can stand here and list dozens of reasons. But let's take a look at six different things that we can draw upon, that we can delight in. Number one, the teachings of Jesus offer deep insights that nobody else ever came up with, would ever come up with. Not even the prophets of old, not even John the Baptizer, the latest and the last of the prophets of the Old Testament genre. But when it came to Jesus, each day, every day, his teaching would provide the kind of deep insights that people can only dream of. But for Jesus, this was standard fare. His teachings always provided the kind of depth of insight that nobody else could offer or provide. What Jesus offered, the teachings of Jesus always brought light. And with that light, darkness was dispelled forever. That was what Jesus offered through his teachings. What Jesus offered was to bring hope. Whenever despair was found, the word that he gave would always result in hope, filling the heart and the mind and the soul. What else did Jesus offer? He would offer eternal life to those who feel they have come to a dead end. The Samaritan woman was one. And there she came, despised, cast out by her family, by her friends, by the community. And yet Jesus offered eternal life, a new beginning, springs of living water flowing from her because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus offered was strength to the fainting heart. There were many who were sick. There were many who were leprous. There were those who were blind. There were those who were deaf. There were those who were demonized. What hope do they have concerning their future on their own? Nothing. But they found strength to the fainting heart when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and heard his teachings. Many hearts were revived as a result. The heart and soul were revived significantly. And this was the power of the teachings of Jesus. What is needed as we take a look at the multitudes and the disciples? What is needed for a person to succeed to become a true disciple? This, what I'm going to say as we conclude, is actually to be found in Peter. And it's not education. It's not academic or scholastic background that will determine a person to succeed as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these are seven things that will help a person to succeed. One, there must be a love for deep knowledge. If one is satisfied with little knowledge, with vague knowledge, with general knowledge, nothing much will happen. We will be part of the multitude, and the little that we know about Jesus will make us happy, but we will never be able to go on from there to become a significant disciple and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be a love for deep knowledge of Jesus, of His work, of His teachings, of the things that He said and He did, and His challenges. Once that deep love for knowledge of the Lord Jesus is there, we will begin on our way to become a good disciple, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There must come within our hearts also a desire to have a strong faith. Many are just happy that they have faith. They're just happy and satisfied that they believe in Jesus and there is hope of heaven, and that's it. But for a true disciple, this is not sufficient. The desire is to have a strong faith, one that can cope with difficulties of life, one that can cope with challenges of life, one that can help us to look at all the problems and obstacles of life, and a strong faith enables us to go beyond what we feel, what we are facing, with the hope that we will be able to overcome. What is needed to be a true disciple? A growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is needed too. Peter did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew about Him. He spoke to Him, but there was no relationship. He heard Jesus as the teacher, respected Him as an epistata, a person to be admired, to be honored, to be respected. That's it. But then there came a day when he developed a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The desire to grow that relationship became real, became strong, became urgent in his life. And that was what made him a good and true disciple. And he doesn't stop there. A true disciple is one who will develop a heart of compassion. Jesus said to all his disciples, "I will make you fishers of men." The reaching out to become a fisher of men is not just about knowledge, about faith, and about skills. It is also about having a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion to reach out to people who do not know the Lord. People who live in darkness. People who are enslaved by sin. People who are trapped by the powers of the devil. It requires a heart of compassion to reach out to all these people with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the truth and to be made free by the truth. There must also be within the heart of a true disciple a spirit of determination. And a spirit of determination is seen in a way in which it will follow through. It will start, it will also finish. It will begin, it will also conclude. That is a spirit of determination. It may not be easy to understand the scriptures. It may not be easy to follow so many things, so many teachings, so many points, so many things as this lesson is specially designed to be. I'm offering you so many things to consider rather than to simplify it for one reason. To help you to see whether there is a spirit of determination to follow through. Now, it may be a simple half an hour lesson, but it will take you literally weeks, months to digest, to understand, to put them into place in order to fathom this word that we are studying today. What is needed to be a true disciple? A humble heart that is able to receive correction. One of the ways in which Jesus taught his disciples was by way of correction. That they had to be corrected simply because they were wrong, because they are defective in the understanding, because, you know, when something is incorrect, it has to be corrected. I think this is something that we need, that we understand. If a person is ill, the doctor has to say, "Listen, you are ill, you need this medicine, in order to get well. For that matter, if you see Dr. Kwek Lee Wei, he will tell you, look, there are little things that you need to attend to, and he's got to attend to your teeth, and you can be made well. The drilling is no fun. The work to be done is painful sometimes, but you know what? Humbly, you accept. Yes, there are cavities. Yes, I need to attend to all these things here. But if I am willing to follow through and I have a humble heart, and humble enough heart, I will accept this, receive the correction, receive the treatment, and then you can smile after that. Well, this is what is required for a disciple to succeed to. And then finally, the disciple that is true will find a faith that will remain firm and strong, even if there is suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that all these things that he was going to teach the disciples were not things that the multitudes will actually follow through with. They won't. They won't have the faith. They won't have the desire. They won't have the determination. They won't have the spirit. The challenge for us in our Sunday school program is for all of us to consider this question. Are we willing to be true disciples? And if the answer is yes, then we must be prepared to examine our heart, to examine our faith, to examine whatever is necessary, and to ask ourselves whether we have the wherewithal to follow through. And the Lord Jesus Christ promised his friendship, his fellowship, his mentorship, his love, his strength, the Spirit of God will also be given to us to ensure that we can succeed. We will succeed as disciples. We do not want to be among the multitudes all the time. We don't have to be. We can succeed. And that is our challenge. And so as we conclude this Sunday school class today, let's ask ourselves where we are. Perhaps we find ourselves that we are actually among the multitudes. My challenge to all of you is step away from the multitude. Listen to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to all the disciples, and he says that to us today, follow me, and I will make you fishes of men. And once we commence this journey, let's continue until we come to a happy, successful conclusion. This was the path that the Apostle Peter took. It was a path that was going to take him 3 years to complete. And that was only the commencement of his training program. He would become an outstanding disciple, but it was because of the training of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the friendship of Jesus, the reality of the Spirit of God and of his faith in the Lord, that he was enabled to become the outstanding apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ that he became. And we too can become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have every reason to believe that. There is God promising us his word. There is the Lord Jesus Christ offering us his word of wisdom. There is the Spirit of God who will make the word of God come alive to us. With all these things given to us, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever for us to consider or contemplate failure. We can become disciples, provided that we make the correct response. Let's, like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Peter in following the Lord Jesus Christ, begin by saying that we are sinful, but we will listen to what Jesus said, take up this offer of discipleship, forsake all, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us all. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us as we take time to ponder this deep word that we are studying today. We recognize our need to be absolutely certain of our faith in you. Help us to find the reality of this faith through the teachings of Jesus. Help us to find ourselves desirous of moving away from the mindset of the multitude to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us your grace and your truth. Grant us your mercy. Grant us the things that we need to succeed in becoming true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we offer this prayer from our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.